Morning, today's Daf Nerchin is Tes Zayin. We're in Tes Vav Amud Beis. We're right in the middle of the Amud. We're going to be starting today with the words Amar Rav Chista, Amar Mar Okva. It is just a drop below the midpoint of the Daf. The first words in the line is Al Gasei Aruach. We're in the third Perek of Erchin. In terms of Dafim, it's a very short Perek. It's just about three blad of Gemara. The Perek started on the bottom of Yigim Amud Beis. So the parak is basically Yudalit Tezvav Tezayin. It's going to finish just a little bit into Yudzayin. So basically, it's three blad of Gemara. It's not a lot, and a lot of these prakim are going to be very short. Again, there are this Masechta is nine prakim crammed into 33 blad of Gemara. So they're short prakim. In the third parak, so a big discussion is going to be about Lashon Hara. Two dapim of this parak are dedicated to the topic of Lashon Hara. We started the topic yesterday. How did the parak and Erechin get involved in Lashon Hara? Because the Mishnah wanted to make a basic point. The Mishnahs in this parak discussed the idea that when you have a fixed monetary requirement, most of the time the Mishnahs are describing a knas, a punitive fine, but when you have a fixed monetary requirement, so sometimes it could be a kula, sometimes it could be a chumra, and it really depends on the value. And the Mishnahs went through all the various knasos of the Torah. The Knas of Shur HaMuad, when the Shur HaMuad kills an Eved Kanani, Knas of Ones, Mefata, Knas of Motzi Shemra. So it also discusses Erechin. Erechin obviously not being a Knas. Erechin is just simply a monetary pledge that you make towards the Beis HaMikdash, but that's also a fixed value. Also in terms of the redemption of Stei Achuza, obviously that's not a Knas, but that still is a fixed value. So whenever dealing with fixed values, so obviously if the actual market value represents anything higher, anything lower, so then the fixed value can either be a leniency or a stringency, obviously depending on whichever direction it veers from the actual fixed value. The Mishnah in yesterday's daf and the Tes Vav Amud Aleph pointed out that when it comes to Motzi Shemra, Mishnah made a tremendous observation. Motzi Shemra is defamation of character. Not generally. It's talking about a specific case. A man marries a woman, and after assuming that she was a basula, it turns out that he thinks that she's not a basula, and he made claim to the fact that she's no longer a basula. That she wasn't a basula. And really what he's claiming, of course, is that she lost her basulin with another man. And it's really embedded in his claim is that she is a noefesh, she's an adulteress. So if, in fact, he's discovered to be totally conjuring up this whole story, and if it's total defamation of character, so the Mishnah points out that he has to pay 100 shkalim. The Mishnah doesn't point that out. The Pasuk and the Torah points that out. But the Mishnah points out, you know, it's interesting. A man's ma'anis a woman, a mefata a woman. So that's an action. And the kanas over there is 50 shkalim. For speech, for dibor, defamation of character, that's 100 shkalim. So the Mishnahs point out that you see the power of speech. And so once the Mishnah mentions the power of speech, so it really allowed the Gemara to go off into a lengthy, an important tangent regarding the power of speech, and specifically that of Lashon Hara. And so our Gemara's yesterday really introduced us to the topic of Lashon Hara. Now yesterday, it's been so far, since the beginning of this discussion of Lashon Hara, it's been all drashas. All right, we started with the Meraglim. Meraglim obviously spoke Lashon Hara. And so it started with numerous drashas regarding the Meraglim. And we talked about how, despite the fact that in the Midbar, we tested Kadosh Baruch Hu 10 times, it wasn't until the Meraglim came and spoke Lashon Hara, and we were Mekabel the Lashon Hara, that at which point Akash Baruch Hu said, that's it. You are not going into Eretz Yisrael. So again, speaking to the idea of the power of speech and the ill effects of Lashon Hara. The Gemara went on to give out various drushas, drusha after drusha. Yesterday we had drushas by Rav Yochanan, by Reish Lakish, a couple by Rav Yochanan, three by Reish Lakish. So we're going to pick it up where we left off yesterday. We are now going to be giving other drushas regarding the ill effects, the negative effects of Lashon Hara. Amar Rav Chista, Amar Mar Okva, right where we left off yesterday, in the middle of Tes Vav Amud Beis. Kol Masapa Lashon Hara, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Sar Shel Gehenim. So somebody who speaks Lashon Hara. So Akash Baruch Hu says to the minister of Gehenim, Ani Allah Milamala Vata Allah Milamata Nidonenu. Akash Baruch Hu says, look, I'll be up here, you'll be down there, and we will judge him together. Shenemar Chitzei Gibor Shinunim. Chitzei Gibor Shinunim literally means the sharp arrows of the mouth. Well, that's it's understood over here that we're talking about sharp arrows that are slung by the mouth. Im Gechalei Risamim. Together with the Gachalim, the coals. Ein chetz el lashon. And the Gemara now goes on to expound. The chetz, the arrow over here, that's a reference to the tongue. Shenever chetz shachul l'shanam mirma diber. The tongue speaks deceitfully. And so you see that the word chetz is a reference to the tongue. Ein gibor el HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The gibor in the pasuk is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenever Hashem ki gibor yetza. Gachalei v'samim haynu gehenim. And the burning coals, that's a reference to Gehenna. Amar Rabbi Chama bar Chanina matakanto shom misaper lashon hara. What can be done to remedy after having already spoken lashon hara? In tamar chacham hu yasak b'torah. So a person who understands and is knowledgeable in Torah, so he should involve himself in Torah. Shenamar marpei lashon eitz chayim. That which heals the language is going to be the eitz chayim. The lashon over here is a reference to lashon hara. And the eitz over here is a reference to Torah, as we're familiar. We say the pasuk every time the Torah is returned. Now, if the person is an am haaretz, so he is unable to learn Torah, so what should be his remedy? His remedy should be yashpil to dato. He should debase himself, lower himself. Shenamar v'salaf ba sheva ruach. So by breaking his spirit, so that will serve as a kapara. Now, Rabbi Acha b'Rabbi Chanina Omer Sipir in lo takana. Rabbi Acha disagrees with Rabbi Chama bar Chanina. Rabbi Chama bar Chanina says that there is some sort of remedy, a takana, after having spoken lashon hara. And according to Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Chanina, if the person already spoke lashon hara, what's done is done. There's no way to really repair and remedy it, right? Sometimes Rabbi Goldberg speaks about this. All right, sometimes saying I'm sorry is just simply insufficient. In other words, you did it, and you hurt somebody's feelings, and you could say I'm sorry, and that's really nice, but ain lo takana. David Baruch Hakadosh Shenamar Yachreis Hashem. David through his Ruach HaKodesh says that the person is already going to be to a certain degree cut off. The Pasuk in Tehillim writes, Yachreis Hashem kol sifsei chalkos. Anyone who speaks any kind of slander is going to be cut off. Lashon medaberes gedolos, where the tongue has spoke great things. And great things over here, not in the positive, but the great over here in a very pejorative sense. In other words, the way he understands it is that we're not talking about remedying, we're talking about preventative. What can a person do to prevent himself from speaking lashon hara? So what you do is you learn Torah, if you're a Talmid Chacham. And so thereby, by being busy and occupied with learning Torah, so that'll prevent you from speaking lashon hara. It will be hard to say lashon hara if you're so involved in learning. Now for an amaret, so he should lower himself, he should debase himself. Meaning with the idea that how can I say anything negative about somebody else when I myself am in such a low position? Somebody who speaks lashon hara, it is tantamount to the big three averos. And I say the big three because I'm making reference to the Gemara Sanhedrin, that for these three averos, one is to give up his life rather than violate these averos. Generally speaking, if a person is given the choice, the awful choice of either violating one of the Yisurim of the Torah or his life, so v'chai b'hem, so your life takes precedence. Life is paramount. However, when it comes to the Gimel Chamuros, the three cardinal sins of Gilu Arai, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah, one is to give up his life. Speaking Lashon Hara is tantamount to these averos. Okay, so as far as Lashon Hara is concerned, being somewhere parallel to Avodah Zarah, so you see the pasuk that we just quoted, speaking about the Gedolos, and we know that the word Gedolah is also associated with Avodah Zarah, as we find by the Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, by the Chet Ha'Ego. Gilo Arayis Ksiv Ich Esa Hara'a Gedolah Hazos. We also see the word Gedolah used in conjunction to Gilo Arayis Yosef. When being solicited by Ishus Potiphar to commit an act of adultery, he says, Ich Esa Hara'a Gedolah Hazos. I can't do this Gedolah. This really, really big bad thing. So you see it's connected to Gilo Arayis. Shichuzamim Ksiv Gadol Avonim and So. Kind in Hevel. So you see that the word gadol is used in conjunction to shvichas damim. Gedolos imatarte. So the Gemara says, now it's true that we see that Lashon Hara is really bad, and the pasuk that we quote in Tehillim is Medaber's Gedolos. It's like speaking and doing travesties, big travesties, but it says in the plural. And maybe the plural over here means two. So maybe you didn't hit all three of the Gimel Chamurs, maybe you only hit two of the Gimel Chamurs. So the Gemara says, Hami Nai Mafka. So the Gemara says, okay, so you tell me, which one is going to be taken out? Meaning, of the Gimel Chamurs, is there a way where we could parse and say that these two should be included, but this one, no. This one's to be excluded. Be'marava Amri Lashon Tilsai Kato Tilsai. In Eretz Yisrael, they have an expression. The expression is that Lashon Tilsai, it's a reference to Lashon Hara, and in just a moment I'll explain why that is. It Katil Tilsai kills, ends up killing three people. Horeg L'Misapro U'L'Mekabro U'L'Omra. Three people involved in the Lashon Hara are the person who says it, the person who listens to it and accepts it, and the person it's said about. Now, the person it's said about, obviously, he did not do wrong in the speech. On the other hand, he's going to be affected seriously and tremendously. We're not just talking about the psychological effects, but we're just talking within the context of our Gemara. Now, if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi says, Lishna Tilsai, meaning the Rashi, Ze Lashon HaRachil. So Rashi over here describes this as Rechilas. And so for just a moment, let's just explain the various terms that we're going to be using over the course of this morning in terms of Lashon Hara. So Lashon Hara is when you speak poorly about somebody else. But that is a very simple and generic translation. Generally speaking, we say it like this. As a brief intro, everyone knows this, but I'll just say it. Lashon Hara, as a general idea, so it never finds its way into the Shulchan Aruch. It's one of the mysteries of the Shulchan Aruch. Right, Rav Yosef Cairo codifying all the halachas of the Torah, all the halachas, I should say better, that are relevant to the Jews in a post-Churban world. So living some 1,400 years after Churban Beis HaMikdash, so he writes the halachas that apply bizmanenu nowadays. Divides into four halakim. Actually, he didn't divide into four halakim. He's following the template of the Torah. Rav Yaakov Ben Asher really put together the arbiturim, the four columns, the four different categories of the Shulchan Aruch, and then Rav Yosef Cairo, using that template, so he wrote the halachas that apply to the Jewish people, bizmanenu, nowadays. One of the mysteries of the Shulchan Aruch is that he does not give a siman or a se'if for Shulchan Aruch. He doesn't actually set up chapters for the laws of Lashon Hara. So why not? So I'll just go back to what I said a moment ago. It's one of the mysteries of the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, I've heard suggestions. I haven't really fell in love with any of the suggestions. He just simply, he hasn't. Fast forward in history some 500 years later, 400 to 500 years later, and we get to Rav Yisrael Meir Kagan. Rav Yisrael Meir Kagan out of Radin. So he realizes that there's an absence of anyone really going over the laws of Lashon Hara, and so he dedicated as one of his farim the laws of Lashon Hara. In fact, he's known better by the Sefer which he wrote, in which he speaks about the Lashon Hara. The name of the Sefer is the Chafetz Chaim, and so he's known better by the name of the Sefer. He's also the author of the Mishnah Berurah, which is really a magnum opus. That's really his, it's a tremendous work. It's really an unbelievable work. But he prides himself on him putting together the laws of Lashon Hara. Okay, so for all the halachas of Lashon Hara, so Sefer Chafetz Chaim is where to go. If I could just overview, obviously our goal is to get through the daf, but just as a basic overview, so when we talk about Lashon Hara as a definition, Lashon Hara basically means that what you're saying about somebody is true, but it's derogatory. You're intending on putting the person down. So it's a true statement, but at the same time, it is there for the purposes of hurting that person. In a moment, the Gemara is going to ask the question, is it Lashon Hara if he's there or if he's not there, the person that you're speaking about? Well, that the Gemara is going to ask that question momentarily. That's Lashon Hara. Rechilus. Rechilus is when you hear something about somebody and then you take it and you peddle it to other people. So that's Rechilus. In fact, the word Rechilus actually means a peddler, where you go and you take the information that you received and you peddle it and you pass it along to others. Motzi Shemra. Motzi Shemra, I've been describing earlier this morning and yesterday, is defamation of character, and for a good reason, meaning because it's not true. What you're saying is patently not true. It's a lie. And on top of that, you're looking to disparage. The difference between Motzi Shemra and Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is true. It happens to be. It's good information. But you're saying it to disparage others. That's Lashon Hara. Motzi Shemra, it's not even good information. It's bad information. It's incorrect. and obviously you're doing it to look to disparage others. So that's the basic differences between Lashon Hara and Rechilus and Motzi Shemra. Okay, and there are other topics to talk about, but just as a basic definition in our Gemara. Now we go back to our Gemara and we talk about the Lashon Tilsai. So the way Rashi describes it, it's a form of Rechilus. You're peddling, right? Zeh Lashon HaRechil Shishlishiz Ben Adam L'Chaver L'Galos L'Sod. So basically what you're doing is you are like a third party going and recounting about somebody, what that person did. So now, so that Lashon Tilsai, that Rechilus, is now going to be responsible for the death of three people. And if you take a look at the next Rashi, Le Omro, or the other gears over the Rashi is Le Makablo, Le Rechil Atzmo Shemitoch Meriva, Shenofelos Bein Hashnaim Horgin Ze Et Ze. Ve Horgin Goalei Adam Es HaRechil, Shaharik Baal Yado. So as far as how three people get involved in being killed through the Rechilus, so Rashi gives the following description. Basically, what's going to happen is that the one who is given the information about the one who's spoken about, so they're obviously going to get into a tremendous fight. Meaning the Rochel is going to be, the Rochel is going to be peddling that information, that really disparaging information about the person. And so the person who hears it now is going to fight with the person who said that information, not the one who peddled it. As far as the one who peddled is concerned, Rashi says he's also going to be killed. Because the Goalei Hadam, in other words, after the two parties were killed over this kind of fight, so the Goalei Hadam is going to go after the Rochel, after the one who peddled the information. He, in fact, was the one who aided and abetted and allowed and facilitated this kind of Ritzicha to occur. Okay, so that is how they say in Eretz Yisrael. Back to our Gemara. So there is death and life in the hand of the Lashon, in the hand of the tongue. Strange pasuk. The tongue does not have a hand. You can kill with the hand, you can kill with the tongue. Now if we took the analogy literally, so then it would mean that just like the hand can only kill somebody in close combat, same thing is true with the tongue, right? The Gemara says, no, the tongue is even worse. Tamalomer chesha chut l'shonam. So the tongue is like an arrow. It can shoot at a distance. Ima chetz ad arba'im v'chamishim ama af l'shon ad arba'im v'chamishim ama. You know, what is the distance in which an arrow can kill? So the Gemara over here says 40 to 50 amos, which is in of itself pretty impressive, right? You can kill somebody at a distance of 100 feet with an arrow. Okay? So tamalomer shasu b'shamayim pihem. Tongue's even worse. You can with a tongue, you can go even further distance. So fine. So once we now know that the tongue is far-reaching, and by the way, in our modern world that we live in, the tongue is really far-reaching, right? We have now, in terms of Lashon Hara, we've gone nuclear, right? Our ability to send information out in an instant to everybody. Mm-hmm. So we really. We've hit nuclear levels in terms of the far-reaching effects of the tongue. So if that's true, now if the tongue can go further than your hand and further than an arrow, so then why mention the arrow? Why mention the hand? In other words, the tongue can kill at an even greater distance. So hakamashlan de katil kechetz, it kills like an arrow. V'chimi acher dechsev chesachul shonam mavetz v'chaim biyad lashon lamali. Now we'll go back to the original pasuk. What do we gain from the first pasuk where it describes it as a hand? Life can be created through a tongue. Death can be created through the tongue. You could say something positive. You could say something disparaging. And it all occurs through the tongue. The Gemara wants to know, give me an example of Lashon Hara. And so now, after a lot of drushas, right, we have gone through basically an amud of Gemara, of drushas chazal, regarding how bad it is to speak Lashon Hara. So now we're primed, right? We're ready. Meaning we're ready now to learn the laws of Lashon Hara. In the Gemara, by the way, it's not going to be a lot. The Gemara is not going to go over a lot of the halachas of Lashon Hara. The Gemara is really going to give just but one example of Lashon Hara. And so because really the truth of the matter is that in the scope of human interaction, so there are obviously a lot of variables and there's nuance and it's not always easy to just give a simple operating definition of Lashon Hara, but at least in the Gemara, we're going to give one example. So, what's an example of Lashon Hara? And by the way, I just make one other point before we go on to the Gemara, and that is that the idea is that intention obviously is very important. In other words, you're intending to disparage somebody. As we'll see in just a moment, if your intent is not to disparage somebody, still obviously you have to be extraordinarily careful with the words that you use. We all have to. But what's critical over here is your intent to disparage. So the Gemara gives the following example. Rav Amar Kagon Damar Ika Nura Be Panaya. Where somebody says, you know, I'm in need of a fire. Where can I go for a fire? I find the fire search to be the most popular when we have a Shabbos Yontif going into one another. And so what people do, people light their yahrzeit candles. And so people forget to light their yahrzeit candles. And you see people walking up and down the street, right, once Yontif starts, right, looking for fire. So anyway, the Gemara over here, obviously without electricity, there was much more need for fire. So we're looking for a fire. Kagon Damar Ika Nura Be Panaya. And I say, oh, you want a fire? Okay, go to that person where you can find a fire over there. Amalei Abaye, Mai Ka'avi, Giloi Milsa Ba'amahu. So the Gemara says, that's Lashon Hara? That's information. I'm telling a person where to go get fire. That's not Lashon Hara. Ela Demachmik Belishna Bisha. So the Gemara says, you're right. That example is not Lashon Hara. That example is information. The example of Lashon Hara would be, is you say it in a disparaging way. Where else do you think you're going to get fire? You know, he's grilling all day, my neighbor, right? Listen, I'd be complimented. He's grilling all day, and all they do is they eat, and of course you're going to find a fire over there. What else does he do? He just simply grills all day. So de'ika bistro v'kavre. He's grilling meat. He's grilling fish. Okay. So when your intention is not to just give out flat information, but to be disparaging in the way you do so, that's Lashon Hara. Now, something that's said in front of the person that you're speaking about is not Lashon Hara. Now, let's understand this as clearly as possible. Meaning, the Gemara is basically saying that if I'm saying something disparaging, but he's right here, that's not Lashon Hara. So to clarify, it is Lashon Hara. Right, there is a debate amongst the Mefarshim and Chumash. When Miriam and Aaron are speaking about Moshe, was Moshe there present, or was Moshe not present? So the Mefarshim debate this very issue. And our Gemara says that if the person is there, it's not Lashon Hara. So to clarify, it is. If your intention is to disparage, it is Lashon Hara. What the Gemara over here is speaking about most probably is something called Avak Lashon Hara, where something is not absolutely Lashon Hara, where really what you're saying is somewhat ambiguous. It could be disparaging, but it could also not be. What's going to be the litmus test to see whether or not what your ambiguous statement was you were making is disparaging or not? If you're ready to say that with the person here. Okay, again, if you are intent on being disparaging, it's always Lashon Hara. If you are somewhat ambiguous in your speech, so then a litmus test to see whether or not it's Lashon Hara is if the person's there. So that's... And what we're going to see, basically, what I just presented is going to be the back and forth in the Gemara. So again, I'm going to start again. I'm a rabbi called Milsa Dimitam Rebape Marleis by Mishum Lishna Bisha. If you're saying it in front of the subject, of the principle, it's not Lashon Hara. So I'm like, Koshekin Chutzpah Lishna Bisha. What do you mean? If you're saying something disparaging, not only is it Lashon Hara, it also is Chutzpah as well. Meaning you're ready to say it right in front of the person's face. So it's Lashon Hara and it's Chutzpah. So I'm like, Anaka Reb Yossi Sfirli. So he says, no, you misunderstood me. I'm saying it like Reb Yossi. Reb Yossi says, I never said anything and need to turn around and see to see if that person I spoke about is immediately behind me. Meaning, what Reb Yossi is saying is the following. When I say things, I never intend on disparaging a person. Even as I'm saying something ambiguous, and it's not clear, did I mean it bad, did I mean it good? I meant it good. And how do I know that? Reb Yossi says, because when I say something, I never have to turn around and see, oops, right? That uncomfortable moment when the person you're speaking about is right there and listening in. Rav Yossi says, I never experienced that. Because I'm never disparaging. I'm never interested in disparaging a person. And even my ambiguous statements are not meant in a disparaging manner. I would say that if he were right here.
Do we have a source for writing?
There is a discussion of Chavetz Chaim, as you can imagine. All the halachas of Lashon, I'm not, by any stretch of the imagination, I am not super well read on the subject, but the Chavetz Chaim talks about it in a sefer. Okay, the Gemara itself does not bring it up in our context. The Vachazartu Acharai. Amar Rava Barav Huna, another halacha. We are now on the top of Tetzayin Amud Aleph. If something is said in front of three people, it is not subject to Lashon Hara. My time of the reason why is Chavrcha Chavre Islay, because you know your friend has a friend. V'chavra d'chavrcha Chavre Islay. And you know the friend of your friend also has a friend. And basically word travels, and word travels very fast. And so therefore when something is said in front of three people, so it's going to be public, it's going to disseminate. Now again, let's take a moment to try to understand this Gemara. Right? At face value, what the Gemara is saying is, well, if I'm saying it to a group of people, group meaning three or more, and presumably I could be counted as one of the three, in other words, I know then the word's going to carry and it's therefore not going to be Lashon Hara. Again, I'll go back to what the Gemara said just a moment ago. What do you mean? If I'm interested in disparaging somebody, not only is it going to be Lashon Hara, it's going to be Chutzpah as well. Meaning, again, you can't understand the Gemara at its face value. Of course it's Lashon Hara if you're interested in disparaging somebody. So what the Gemara means is as follows. Now, when I say what the Gemara means, I'm just fair warning. The Gemara is not interpreted in one manner. There are multiple ways the Rishonim understand this Gemara. What I'm presenting this morning is going to be like Tosfos. And it's going to be similar to what we said earlier. You want to find the Tosfos, you can find it on the previous Amud. Tosfos is on Tes Vav Amud Beis. It's the fourth Tosfos. Lishna Tilsa, no, next Toso, sorry. Komilsa demandame be'ape tlasa, leis be mishum lishna bisha, perish kagon, ki agavne de dura bene, sorry, de nura be ploni, de ikala mishma de lo amra mishum lisha bisha. The Toso says, we're going back to our ambiguous statement. Somebody asked me, where can I find fire? And I tell him and I direct him to somebody's house. Now, it could be that I meant it in a disparaging way. It could be that I didn't mean it in a disparaging way. I happen not to have meant it in a disparaging way. But it's somewhat ambiguous what my intentions were. So if I say it in front of three, so that means that by definition, I know it's going to get back to him. And as long as it's ambiguous, and of course, as long as I did not mean it in a disparaging way, so then it would be okay. That's the way Tosos understands this line of Gemara of Ba'ape Tlasa. Aval Tosos, I'm just going to read the end of Tosos. Aval im hu amar davar kantor al chavero. If you're looking to say something quarrelsome about your friend, I feel haya omer b'fanav is be mishum lishon bisha. If I say directly to him, of course it's lashon hara, and then I'll add what the Gemara added as well, and it's chutzpah. So in other words, if you are interested in saying something disparaging, it's lashon hara, even if the person's there. Even if I say it in front of three people, of course it's lashon hara. The only heterm that we just learned, again, according to Tosfos, the only heterm that we just learned is that I'm saying something which is ambiguous, could have gone in either direction in terms of what my intention was. I did not have an intention to disparage. So what are litmus tests to see whether or not what my meaning was? If he's there, so then clearly I didn't mean it disparagingly. If there are three people, were the words going to get back to him? Same thing. That's the way Tosfos understands these last couple of halachas regarding Lashon Hara. Again, there are other ways to explain it. I'm acknowledging, but this morning I'm going to present it like Tosfos. Ki asa redimi amra mai dechsev. We are continuing in the Gemara. We are on Tezayin Amud Aleph, four lines down. Redimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael, quoting the pasuk in Mishlei. Mevarech reyo bekol gadol baboker hashkem klala techashev lo. So the waking up in the morning, blessing your friend with a loud voice, it's a klala. It's really a curse. So how can that be? Let's say somebody hosts you, and they are the best hosts. Fantastic. And the next day what you do is you go out. And nowadays you don't even have to wake up in the morning to go out. You could just simply announce it to the public through social media. And you start praising him in public. He's the best. What a great host he was. You understand how much work and effort that he put in to serve me. And when people hear this, so what they're going to do is they're going to exploit this information. Now, exploitation over here can come in a couple of manners. One, people now know that he's got money, and so people are just going to basically, they're going to steal from him. Or we can explain the Gemara a little more subtly. And that is that exploitation could be, oh, you're such a good host. Knock, knock. Hi, I need a place to stay. Would you mind hosting me? And so basically you're going to put him in a position where he's going to have to stretch himself now to accommodate all the people who heard that he was now rated 5 stars. Now, what a person should not do is a person should not compliment others. Because in doing so, in highlighting how good he is, so somebody's going to be listening in, and it's going to basically incite him. Really, he's that good? Let me tell you something about that person. Rashi over here writes, "Baili de raso shikishu master betovaso yoser midai." Now it's interesting. Rashi over here says, complimenting is not a bad thing. In fact, I'd even add, should do it. But if you do it too much, right? If you exaggerate too much, hu atzmo omer chutz mimida ra'a. So then you're going to say, "Oh, wait one second. Really, you're going all that way in terms of flattering him? Let me just share one thing about him that perhaps you did not know. How could you say he's that good? Don't you know what else he does? And so that is Rashi's understanding. And again, we could file this under what we'll call avak lashon hara, meaning obviously giving a compliment and flattering somebody is not lashon hara. You didn't mean to disparage him, but in doing so, it'll lead to a disparaging comment. So that falls under the category of avak lashon hara. It is a rabbinic form of lashon hara. Igadami Rav Dimi Achud Rav Safra Chalash. The Gemara has a slightly different version where Rav Dimi was sick. Rav Safra Lishului Bay. Rav Safra pays him a visit. Amalu Taisli Dekaimi called Amar Rabbanan. So he says, you know, Baruch Hashem, not only was I Mekayim the mitzvahs of the Torah, I followed all the decrees of the Chachamim as well. Amalei Hamar Mekayim Dolama Yisaper Adam Betavaso Shachaver Shemitok Tavaso Barli Degnuso. Really, you followed every one of the decrees? How about over-complimenting? Did you follow the Chachamim regarding over-complimenting? Did you never over-compliment? So Amru lo shmi'ali, v'iha v'shmi'ali kayamte. So he admits, he says, you know, I never knew that one. Now it's interesting how somebody who is a Talmid Chacham doesn't know one of the Gzeirah d'Rabbanan. Okay, admittedly, it's interesting. But he admits, he was very honest about it. I didn't know. I didn't know about the Gzeirah. If I knew about the Gzeirah, I would have kept that one as well. Okay. Amr Shmuel bar Nechmin, Amr Rav Yochanan, al shiva dvarim negayim baim. So on the basis of seven different averas, so a person will be visited by tzaras. Now, as we all know, tzaras is on one hand a physical ailment. In other words, in terms of its diagnosis, the Torah goes on and gives a lot of detail in terms of what physically you're going to be looking for in order for diagnosis. But we also know that its cause is not something of a physical nature, but obviously it's that of a spiritual nature. It's because the person violated various yisurim in the Torah, and so therefore, as a result of that, it's going to manifest in terms of tzaras. But the cause of it, the root cause of it, is going to be averus. And what we're going to be learning over the course of this morning is which averus specifically are going to be the cause of tzaras. Now, I would say number one on everybody's list would be lashon hara. And the truth of the matter is that our Gemara lends credence to putting that in the number one spot. And first of all, it actually, in the list that we're about to learn, it is in the number one spot. And we also learned in yesterday's daf, right? Mitzora is a contraction of the word motzi shem ra, meaning you can actually see the words defamation of character, motzi shem ra, in the word mitzora. We did that yesterday's daf. So understood that, the connection between lashon hara and tzaras. And just another obvious point, and Miriam, meaning Miriam spoke lashon hara, and immediately she was visited with tzaras. So already we know the connection between lashon hara and tzaras, but there is connections between tzaras and other averas as well. Seven in total. The Gemara is going to list all seven right now. So al shiva dvarim negayim bayim al lashon hara. So number one on the list is lashon hara, shvichas dami, murder, al shvur shav, making a false oath, agila arayus, sexual immorality, agasus aruach, arrogance, al hagezel, theft, al tzaras ayin, being stingy, al lashon hara. Now we're going to go through each one, citing psukim that each one of them is connected to lashon hara. Al lashon hara dechsev malashne b'seis areyu oso atzmis. So for somebody who speaks lashon hara privately, I'm going to cut him off. Now remember yesterday's daf, the word tzamis is connected to tzaras, right? We learned that yesterday because the word tzmisus, if you look at Targum in Parshas Bahar, the word tzmisus is translated as chalutin, and we know the word chalutin is connected to tzaras, right? A mitzora muzgar, a mitzora mochlat. Fine. Al shvichas damim dechsev al ikares mi beis Yoav zav umitzora. So Yoav who spoke Lashon Hara, so from his family there's going to be tzaras. He was involved in Shvichas Damim, in murder. See the beginning of Shmuel Beis for a description of what exactly happened in terms of Yoav and Shvichas Damim. Ashur Shav Dichziv Ayomer Naaman Hol Kach Kikarim Ukziv Tzaras Naaman Tidbak Bach Gechazi went to Naaman and swore falsely regarding that which he claimed Elisha said. Elisha did not say it. Gehazi swore falsely, and as a result of that, the tzaras that Naaman had, that by the way, Naaman was cured based on the advice given to him by Elisha, so that tzaras went from Naaman and onto Gehazi. Al gilu eras yichsi v'inaga Hashem es paro negayim. Now, Paro got tzaras for being involved in gilu eras. Now, truth be told, we know that he didn't actually come into contact with Sarah, but his intention was to do so. And so because he wanted to engage in gilu eras, we got tzaras. Number five, Agasos Aruch Tichsiva Vecheskaso Gavali Bo Ad Lashchis Vaymol Vashem Elokav Vatsar Zarcha B'Mitzcho. So this is a reference to Uziyahu. He became arrogant, and the Navi describes how he then got Saras. Alagazot Tichsiva Sivakon Finuus Abayis. In terms of theft, so we know that what happens to a person is that either he himself could be visited with Saras, his clothing could be visited with Saras, or his house could be visited Saras. The Pasuk describes that for that person whose house is visited with Saras, so the Kohen's going to come and they're going to clear the house out before the Kohen goes and renders an opinion. So v'tziva kohen apinos abayis tanuhu kones mamon she'en shelo yavo kohen v'yavazer memono. And the Braisa has a really sharp comment. The Braisa says that, you know what was in his house? Things that he stole from other people. Ufinos abayis, and when he's clearing out his house, so all the stolen items are now going to be aired out, literally taken out of his house. People are going to see, oh, I see what was in his house. That's mine. Okay, number seven. I'll start with the ayin being stingy. Again, encrypted in the pasuk, asher uba asher lo habayis. The house was his. Now, of course, the house is his. What does it mean that the house was his? Meaning he kept it exclusively his. He didn't share anything that he had with anybody. He didn't open up his house. Ini. Okay. So what we're learning together now is that when Saras comes, so it basically is going to serve as a form of kapara for all these various averes that we just listed. The Gemara says, I'm a little bit confused over the following. If you open up the Parshas Tetzava, you will find juxtaposed one next to the other, the Parsha about the Begadim and the Parsha of Karbanos. Now, Karbanos obviously provide Kapara. That we all know. That's established. What we're adding now is that even the Begadim of the Kohen are able to affect a form of Kapara. Specifically, Ketonus Mechaperes Oshvichas Damim. The Ketonus worn by the Kohen Gadol is going to give some form of kapara for Shvichas Damim. Now, I'm going to explain this better in just a moment. It's a little difficult to understand. A person kills, oh, but don't worry, the Kohen Gadol is wearing his ketonis, we're fine. That's obviously, it just, you hear it and it's like, no, that can't be. So give me a moment, we'll explain it better in just a moment. So ketonis mechapara Shvichas Damim dechsiv ait belu as a ketonis bedam. Now we know that Yosef was now killed. Now not killed. In other words, obviously he survived, but there was an attempt on his life, and they took his ketonis and they dipped it in blood. They brought it back to Yaakov, and they say, you know, I think something really bad happened to Yosef. At least the evidence seems to indicate so. So you see the connection between the ketonis and Shvichas Damim. Michnasei mechaper magil arayis yichsiv aser lahem michnasei ba lechasos basar erva. Now, in terms of the michnasei worn by the Kohen, so that is a kapara for gilo arayis. It's literal, meaning that the mechnasayim are there to cover the erva, so it's mechaper of an arayis. Mitzdefetz mechaper sagas eruch kid Rabbi Chanin, damer Rabbi Chanin, yavo davar shebegova, v'yechaper amase gova. The hat worn by the Kohen. So that's providing kapara on arrogance. And obviously arrogance, the person thinks he's elevated, the most elevated part of his body is his head, so the hat goes on top, and to give humility. Right? It could be connected, by the way, to our minug of wearing something on our head all the time. Avnet, mechaperes al hir her alev, ahecha deisa. The avnet is being mechaper on thoughts, illicit thoughts that we have, And it's because the belt is right over the heart. Now, generally speaking, in terms of modern fashion, and I'm not the person to speak to about modern fashion, but the belt is generally worn well below the heart. In other words, our belts basically are riding right below our stomach, right? Back in the day, when they put the belt on, the belt obviously was worn higher. It rode right below the chest, right above the stomach. And so it's riding on the heart. Choshen, I'm skipping the parentheses, Choshen mechaper el hadinim, the Choshen worn by the Kohen Gadol, so that provides atonement for any kind of justice which became perverted. Dichsiv asisa Choshen mishpat. Ephod mechaper al avodazara. The ephod, right? Best description of the ephod would be like an apron, but just a description. So it's mechaper and avodazara dichsiv ein ephod utrafim. You see the connection between ephod and trafim. Trafim are idols. Mil mechaper loshen hara makarz baruch hu yadavar shebekol. Sorry. Yavo davar shebekol v'chaper al maisa hakol. As far as the me'il, so they have bells on the bottom. And as the Kohen Gadol is walking, you'll hear the me'il, just like you hear Lashon Hara. And so therefore it's mechaper on Lashon Hara. Tzitz mechaper on ma'isei azei panim. Ksiv ha'chavayal meitzach aron uksiv ha'som umeitzach isha zona hayalach. And as far as the tzitz, the head plate worn by the Kohen, so that is for meitzach panim, for insolence, for chutzpah. As the Navi in Yirmiyahu describes, the isha zona meitzach hayalach. She had a real forehead, and it's an allusion. It's a reference to having real chutzpah. Okay, what's the problem? The problem is that we're a little bit confused in terms of what's providing the kapara for lashon hara. Is it going to be the tzaras that visits the person, or is it going to be the me'il worn by the kohen? Now, for a moment, let's take a moment to just understand. The big day kohen are providing kapara. Like, what does that even mean? Right, the person who did the avera does not need to worry because the Kohen Gadol is wearing his big day kahuna? Hard to understand. Hard to understand. Rashi over here offers a beautiful pshat. See the Rashi. Now, I'll tell you what. Let me do the following. Sorry. I'll first present the answer of the Gemara, and then we'll go back to the Rashi. Hold my question. Hold on to my question. And after we go through the Gemara's answer and we see the Rashi, we'll understand all this a lot better. The Gemara's answer is as follows. Lo kasha hadanu masav hadalo hanu masav. So the Gemara says, well, it depends on whether or not what he did was effective or was not effective. Now, let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes, Ahanu Masav, so Shiniskotetu al Yado. Meaning, how do we gauge whether Lashon Hara was effective? It's very simple. The person I spoke Lashon Hara about, so did they actually get into a fight? So if they got into a fight, so I'll give myself a check. Now, I don't mean check in a positive sense. But in other words, but the Lashon Hara that I spoke now came to fruition because it actually started a fight because I said Lashon Hara. So that is effective Lashon Hara. That's where it yields a result. As opposed to I say something and the person who hears Lashon Hara says, okay, but he doesn't do anything about it. That's lo ahanu masav. So, and what the Gemara is basically saying is as follows. If it was in fact effective Lashon Hara, so that is something where you need a lot of kapara, meaning saras. If it's something where it's lo ahanu masav, where it wasn't that effective, it didn't create the effect that I wanted, so then big day kahuna. Now let's turn to Rashi. Rashi shiniskotet du al yado. Rashi, I'm reading the Rashi Dibra Maskal Hanu Masav. And Rashi goes on. Now it's interesting that the Gemara is spending all of its time trying to resolve the question of Lashon Hara. Why isn't the Gemara bothered by Shvichas Damim? You know, earlier we said Shvichas Damim, Ksaras. Now we're saying Shvichas Damim, oh, that is the that's the ketonus of the Kohen Gadol. Why isn't the Gemara bothered by that? So treats the had the hani big de kohuna mechaprim lav aladi day. So Rashi over here offers the following explanation. We're saying the big de kohuna provide kapara. We do not mean that it provides kapara for the principal who violated the act. Just because the Kohen Gadol is wearing clothing does not mean that the person who committed an act now is going to receive atonement. No. Rashi says, but rather goes like this. Ela al ha'achem sha'yado ne'anashim. It's the collateral damage that is created through these averas. When murder occurs, so there is going to be a residual effect to the entire community. It reverberates. Rashi says, the pasuk in Bamidbar Perek Lamed Hei says that murder, so what it's going to do, it's going to shatter the world. Right? When murder occurs, it reverberates. Same thing with Gilo Arias. The effects of Gilo Arias affects and influences the entire community. It's not true by Lashon Hara. By Lashon Hara, it does not affect others, meaning other than the people that was spoken about. So we have this reverberating effect of Gilo Arias and Shvichas Damim. So there Rashi says, I easily understand how the Big Day Kahuna Mechaper. It's not being Mechaper on the Maisa Avera. It's being Mechaper on the effects of the Avera. Because it reverberates. Mashenken, when it comes to Lashon Hara, so we don't have this reverberation effect. And so as a result of that, that's why we have to give different answers. Okay. So explains Rashi. Okay. Back to our Gemara. So now what we just learned in the Gemara is that if your Lashon Hara was ineffective, so no fighting came as a result of that, so for that, you have the Big Day Kahuna. If your Lashon Hara was effective Lashon Hara, and it created fighting, so then Saras. So the Gemara says, I anu ma'isav, asu negayim alau, ilo anu ma'isav mi'il mechaper. Fine. Sorry, the Gemara just spells it out. V'amar av siman, amar av Yeshua ben Levi, shnei dvarim lo matzino lehem bekarbanus kapara, bedavar echad, bedavar achim matzino lehem kapara. So the Gemara says now, it's interesting because we're going to deal with another statement, which is that for certain averos, two of them, we don't have a karban, but we have other methods of kapara, notably murder and lashon hara. Shvichus damim be'egla rufa v'lashon hara b'kitaras. Now for shvichus damim, we have the egla rufa. For lashon hara, we have the kitaras. D'tanya, Rabbi Chanina lamana l'kitaras shemechaperas d'chziv v'yiten esa kitaras. The Ketores was offered, and it provided kapara for the nation. This week's parsha, Parsha's Korach, here in Chutz Laaretz. V'tan debei Rabbi Shmuel, ma Ketores mechaper al lashon hara. So it's mechaper over lashon hara. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu yavadash davar shebechashai v'yechaper al ma'aseh chashai, because the Ketores, which is something that is brought quietly, is going to be mechaper for something that was said quietly. When you speak Lashon Hara, typically, you don't want to be too loud about it. You don't want too many people to hear. You're telling a secret. And you know my definition of a secret. It's secret is something that you tell one person at a time. I'd say, okay, you can run with it. Okay, I give you permission. so you tell it in private. So the Gemara says, so the Ketores now is providing Kapara for Lashon Hara. So now, more confusion. Wait 1 second. What's the kapara for Lashon Hara? So far we have now on the map, we have Saras. We also have Big Day Kahuna. And now we have the Ketores. And even in Shvichas Damim, we're also confused. What's providing the kapara for Shvichas Damim? We have the Sonus of the Kohen Gadol, and now we have the Egla Rufa. Like, we're all over the place. But the Gemara makes sense of everything. Kasha Shvichas Damim, Shvichas Damim, Kasha Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara. Shvichas Damim, Shvichas Damim, Lo Kasha Hadi Adia, Man Kalei. So the Gemara says, as far as Shvichas Damim is concerned, if we know who the murderer is, so then we have the Big Day Kahuna. If we don't know who the murderer is, we have the Egla Rufa. Gemara says, wait 1 second. The Yadiyah Man Kalei Bar Katalahu. What do you mean? If I know who the murderer is, so why are we looking for other means of kapara? You know what you do with the murderer. The murderer is Chayv Misa Beis Din. See, he's going to get executed. What are we looking for other means of kapara? Putting him to death is a form of kapara. So the Gemara says, not always. A person can be a murderer, but because of there is a necessity of due process, and part of the due process is hasra'ah, so if you don't give him hasra'ah, you're not going to be able to put him to death. And so, under those circumstances, we need a form of kapara. And again, I'll reiterate what Rashi said earlier. The kapara of the Big Day Kahuna are not going to be a kapara for him per se. Obviously, he's going to have to deal with the consequences of his actions, but in terms of the reverberating effects to the others, so you have the Big Day Kahuna. And if we don't know who the murderer is, so then we have the Egla Rufa. Fine. So for murder, we have mapped out the various kaparas. Lashon Hara, what are going to be our kaparas for Lashon Hara? So Lashon Hara Lokasha Habitsina Habifarhesya. The Gemara says it depends whether the Lashon Hara was said privately or was said publicly. If the Lashon Hara was said privately, so then you have the Ketores. If it was said publicly, so then you have the Me'il of the Kohen Gadol. And again, and we'll go back and reiterate what we said earlier, and if it was effective Lashon Hara, where fighting ensued, so then you have Tzaras. Okay, so the various kaparas of Lashon Hara are also all mapped out. We are on the very top of Tezayin Amud Beis. Ba'mine Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nadav, mi Rabbi Chanina, ba'mila Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nadav, chasnei, the Rabbi Chanina, the son-in-law of Rabbi Chanina. May Rabbi Chanina v'amila me Rabbi Shua ben Levi manishtana mitzara she'amra Torah v'dag yeshiv mechutza machanem o'shavo. Why is it that part of the process of the entire kapara of our mitzara is he has to sit in solitude? So the Gemara's answer is huivdil ben ish lishta ben ish l'reil l'ficha chamra Torah v'dag yeshiv. With his Lashon Hara that he spoke, so what he did is he created separation between husband and wife. Between a man and his friend. In other words, by gossip mongering, so the husband and wife now started fighting. Now they separated one from another, leshal and bias. So you have to sit alone. You're in timeout. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi Manishana Mitzorah Shamar Torah Yavoshet Tziporim Latara So. Why the Mitzorah on day one of the Tahara process? You bring a pair of birds. One is going to be shefted, the other one is going to be released. Why? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Hu Osem Aseh Patit. He did something. Basically, Rashi describes it as chattering. So l'ficha chamar Torah yavi karban patit. So bring out the birds. The birds are chattering. It's going to remind him of how basically he just prattered on. Tan rabbanan lo sisnas achicha b'vavecha. We are going to be moving topics. We're going to be shifting topics. From this point going forward now in the daf, we're going to move on to the topic of tochacha. So I'll tell you, even though it is far a distance from finishing the daf, but this is a good place to stop. As now the topic of Lashon Hara has come to an end, and we move on to the topic of Tochacha, giving rebuke to others. You'll see why it's brought in over here, what the connection is between this and Lashon Hara. It is obviously connected. So let's just quickly recap. We finished up Tesvav Amud Beis today. We finished all the Drashas Chazal as to the severity of Lashon Hara and how bad it is. And the Gemara spoke at length and gave various Drashas to how serious an avera it actually is. The Gemara then spoke very quickly about the laws of Lashon Hara. Not much in terms of halachas from the Gemara's perspective. One is that we were given an example of what is Lashon Hara, where you don't just simply provide information, but you make a pejorative statement about others. You were looking to disparage the other person. In the case where you were making ambiguous statements, which could have been interpreted as something disparaging, but that wasn't your intent. So how do we know that your ambiguity was meant with no malintent? So for that, the Gemara provides a couple of scenarios. One, the person's right here, and so my ambiguous statement was not meant with any kind of malintent. Two, I said in a group of three, where I know the information is going to get back to the principal, and so there too, I meant nothing bad by it. Again, if you did not intend and you were making an ambiguous statement. Again, to reiterate, if you were looking to disparage, so it's Lashon Hara and it's also Chutzpah as well. The Gemara goes on to describe the relationship between Lashon Hara and Tzaras. Tzaras is there to provide a kapar for Lashon Hara. And as we mapped out over the course of this morning, so there really is various forms of Lashon Hara with various forms of kapara. We finished the day with three different forms of kapar for Lashon Hara. Tzaras, the Big Day Kahuna, and the Ketores. And what is the need for all three of them? So we mapped it out today in terms of private, public, effective Lashon Hara. So all that was covered over the course of today as well. Okay, and various other drashas regarding part of the rehabilitation of the Mitzora, who has spoken Lashon Hara. He sits by himself. The birds are part of the Tahara process, all connected to the Lashon Hara.